Will you pray with me? Rock and Redeemer God, for this word about your word, we pray. Pour out your spirit, O Lord. Be near to us and speak to us that we might proclaim your glory. Keep us from using our reason against your truth, but let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. It's not just endearing. There's something fundamental and encouraging and foundational and hope-filled when we see or experience Jesus weeping. No, it's not just that that's reported to be the shortest verse in the Bible. In our first scripture reading from the Gospel according to John, the assigned reading for this year's celebration of All Saints Day is really hard to miss. Right there in verse 35, Jesus began to weep. I think it's profoundly moving and deeply meaningful anytime we see Jesus in full possession of our human experience. When we can identify him in emotional responses that are so part and parcel of daily life to all of us. The full context is that when Jesus sees Mary weeping, he became greatly disturbed and deeply moved. And he joins with her, full human embrace in a difficult human moment. And seeing Jesus weep with Mary, the Jews declared, "See how he loved him." Family of faith, full disclosure, what better example of Jesus as being right here with us than this one? Full humanness, transmitting and translating between human and divine. But also among those who followed Mary to meet Jesus that day, there was some expectation that Jesus might also have had a more than human response. For seeing Jesus' response, they ask, referring to Lazarus, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" As you may know from the full reading of the story, Jesus failed to arrive as Lazarus' life was battling with death. Jesus even missed the funeral. This is often our question from time to time too, since we believe that Jesus can raise the dead and return people from disease and bring back the suffering to wholeness, restore sightedness to the blind, help the lame and broken be fully healed. If Jesus really loved us, maybe people wouldn't die. But yet, this is sort of also the point. If we believe that we are joined together in a death like his, we also believe we will be raised in a resurrection like his. Jesus is our Savior. He does not just salve us, but he saves us. Even though we die, we will live forever and ever, which is to say that we believe we are not so separated from those who have died. We are yet united with them, in them, to them, in Christ Jesus. John's gospel here testifies to the opening of the tomb, to the smell of death, to the reality of death, having to give back life to Lazarus as Jesus calls him and orders him to be unbound. In life and in death, we all belong to God. In life and in death, we are all called by the voice of our Savior Jesus. And when we see how Jesus loves Lazarus, we have some sense for how Jesus also loves us, because he calls to us and invites us to respond. Jesus promises Martha, "If you believe, you will also see the glory of God." Yet rather than just point to an act of resuscitation or even resurrection, surely what Jesus means is that in believing, we are able to see and understand God's power over death is real. Believing reveals that death has no power over life, that in fact life overpowers death. to see the glory of God is to see this life-giving power at work in the world. The power of God that is more than just renewing of dead bodies. In our other two scripture readings, loving God is witnessed as the glory of God. In the Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy, Moses is giving the statutes and commandments that when lived are the means of living long and well. The Lord is one God, the Lord alone, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words, Moses implores the Israelites, telling them to wear them on their foreheads, to have them on their houses and their gates, and that they be bound to them day and night, so that every time they reach out their hand, they'll see it in the little box tied around their hand. Every time others see them, they will see that in the little box tied around their foreheads. In our reading from Mark's gospel, Jesus adds one more provision, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. When the Jews see Jesus weeping with Mary, they said, "See how he loved him." When we see one another, loving God and neighbor, the glory of God and the kingdom of God are no less visible. When we love like Jesus loves, we show the glory and power of God that transforms our lives and carries people from desperation to promise. When we love, sharing emotionally, helping with one another, bringing funeral casseroles along with our condolences, we live into the promised hope that the reality of life upends death and not the other way around. This is not to say that it is ever easy or comfortable or simple when death visits, when loved ones die. But how powerful to know that Jesus is with us when they do. But when we love God and neighbor, people see more than what that love is because Jesus shows us God and God's kingdom in his love of us. It's God's glory made visible. And so when we love, God is loved. We are loved. Neighbors are loved. And life, true life, is being revealed. The kingdom life. For the scribe who accepts Jesus' testimony, Jesus tells him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Which is not to say, you're going to die soon, right? Except that's usually how we transpose it. We talk about the kingdom of God as if it's heaven, like the words and concepts are simply interchangeable. Jesus is not telling the scribe that he's close to heaven that way, but that he may be living near it. In Celtic spirituality, a form of Christian faith and practice from ancient Scotland and Ireland, the nearness between heaven and earth is sometimes referred to as thin places. Thin places. In fact, in that tradition, it is believed that the kingdom of God and our earthly kingdom indeed reside near each other. They even sometimes touch or kiss, or enfold into each other. The imagery of gathering at the river by the throne of God, or crossing over Jordan, or maybe some North American concept still clinging to this ancient Celtic understanding. Heaven and earth comes close and we cross over to the next. The thin places reference those moments where God's kingdom and our reality are well within sight of one another, where we suddenly see it being real to us, or where this life can flow into the next, and vice versa. Loving God and neighbor in this life mimics the life we are coming to and destined for. So that when Jesus says to the scribe, "You're near it," it's another way of saying you're living your best, and there's not much between the life you live and the one that you desire. When Jesus says to Mary, "If you believe, you will see the glory of God," Is it not part of seeing the kingdom of God that we aspire to, also being made manifest in our love that Jesus brings to us as the love of God? So we know that we are loved because it's visible in whom we love, in this life and the one that is promised. Sometimes we think too much that this life and the next life are separated, that they're separate, and we wait until we arrive, and that there's no way to be a part of both at the same time. I think Jesus reminds us that we live close together, this life and the next life, that we can bring God's kingdom into view in the one in which we are living, the one to which we aspire to. And that happens when we love God and our neighbor as ourselves, and everyone can see it. If you believe, you have seen the glory of God. Now go to love and serve the Lord. Amen.